Welcome to the CFB Dynasty Podcast with hosts Matt Knowles, Brian McElfrish, and Doug Gravely.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's your three favorite guys that talk about college fantasy football. Or maybe it's just two of us, but just don't let us know which two it is and who gets left out. Anyways, it's the CFBDynasty.com podcast. My name is Matt Knowles. I'm here with Doug Dynasty and Brian McElfrish. Brian, Doug, first things first, how are you feeling about your March Madness brackets with only 12 teams left? Doug, that's what your thoughts are on your bracket. BMAC, what about you? How are you feeling about your bracket right now?
Pretty terrible, like once Florida lost. I pretty much knew it was over for me
day
at that point.
Florida lost, guys. Day two.
It's every maybe third year. I'll just get bullish on Florida's chances. And I thought they had a long team, really good guard play. I thought they would be able to compete. Didn't work out. Lost by two.
It was the center, bro. It was the center.
Yeah, it was maybe the broken leg of our center the game before. But whatever. Whatever. It's the Gators can't hurt me again until Florida plays Miami. So
That's true. As you see, I've still got a lit red behind me because NC State, there's only 12 teams left in college basketball right now as we record this, and they're one of them. Hopefully tonight they get the dub and I can see what happens on Sunday. But you know what? I've been enjoying the ride. It's been fun watching DJ Burns get some national press for his dump truck sized body. I know Doug has got to be loving the fact that a guy built like him is Doug's like,
I mean, I don't necessarily beep when I walk backwards, but hey, it's cool, dude.
Hey, but it's fun seeing a guy like that. They're talking about he's so big, but he needs to be on Dancing with the Stars. It's a great time. It's fun. Major changes in there. Our boy Zach Bernard, that always seems to win at everything, jumped into the number one spot in the college basketball March Madness pool last night. So we'll see if Zach ends up taking it or if somebody else can jump up there. My daughter Cameron is in second place, which is kind of cool.
Hey.
But we'll see what happens there. Also, by the way, Cameron, officially four-time first-team all-county soccer player. Very rare that ever happens.
Congratulations, y'all.
Totally happy that she actually is officially four-time first-team all-county.
That's awesome.
Anyways, today's show is not about March Madness. We are talking about the video game and who they think are going to be the top 10 QBs in the game. There's some good rankings. Doug finished up a really awesome article on that we're going to cover in just a little bit. But before we get there, we're going to talk news and notes. But before that, BMAC wants to cover some brand new news about the video game that just came out yesterday. It has nothing to do with the rankings. BMAC has got some great screenshots. Let's talk about it.
Well, they're not my screenshots. They're straight from EA, which is great. So any sort of communication you get from them. But this was on Twitter. So these came out of Faroe Field, a.k.a. the Zoo. Missouri's football stadium. There's some like daylight and some night shots where you can see how the stadium looks. And so, hey, any little teaser we get is great. I love it. And that commercial that they did was so good. I probably watched it 10 times. I'm so pumped for this game. And I'm excited to talk about the ratings that we have today where we've got, you know, throwing power and accuracy and whatnot as we go through what we think. Like you said, the top 10, what we think they think the top 10 quarterbacks will be.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to that part of the show, man. We got a lot of stuff to cover before we get there, but I'm excited to get to that. Definitely a fun article, definitely some fun rankings that are going to be fodder for us to discuss with BMAC and his projections on throwing power, accuracy, things like that. But before that, let's get to some notes on the rankings. So BMAC, do we have any risers and fallers that we want to call out on the actual CFB Dynasty fantasy football rankings for this week?
We do, Matt. I don't know how you knew, but we do.
Oh, man.
All the things we're about to talk about affected the rankings and more, like much more. A lot of the like news and notes that we've read, learned about, whatever, through different channels have seen. But you go to the Draft Prep, Draft Central, boom, we've got four links there right now for you: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end rankings. Pretty deep right now, so we're hundreds of players in each, and we're still working towards getting the depth charts to being 100%, you know, complete, which is like not a thing because of the roster movement that's about to happen. So that's just going to be a continuous work in progress till the end of life, probably. But these are all updated, so you can click here and see. Same with our teaser rankings that are free. We got our top 10 available for free. And as we make changes to the depth charts, as we make changes in the data, it automatically goes live on the site. So you're gonna see all these things, you know, happen in real time. We had, you know, Taj Brooks get a nice bump after going over some data with him. Brought Jordan James down a little bit, and we'll talk about him a little bit more too, but there's just a lot going on in the news, and it's just great to talk about actual on the field football news. So we can get to that.
So B-Mac, who's some of the people that you have that you want to call out specifically? I know right before we went on, you had a news and note about a South Alabama riser or faller you want to call out.
Yeah. So South Alabama, for, you know, there'll be a running back one will be a great spot. Wide receiver one, great spot for fantasy there. Solid offense. And it looks like Braylon McReynolds, and really before I get into the news and notes, I do want to give a shout out to Volume Pigs real quick, if that's fine. So
I'll let you do it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So Volume Pigs, they put together this like college football roundup, and it's just a great little site, you know, a little cheap $5 a month or whatever, easily worth it. He takes all the news and things that he's compiled, puts it into one article, and super helpful for us. You know, there's a bunch of different content creators in the sphere, and I really want to do a better job connecting with them this year. And hopefully we'll get some of them on the podcast and whatnot. I talked to Volume Pigs about that a little bit yesterday. So he does a great job of that, and check it out, pay for it, absolutely worth it. All of those things that he writes about too, you know, may not immediately impact our rankings or whatever, but we'll use our own judgment skills to see how one piece of news might impact the rankings, might impact depth charts, but he does a great job putting that together. So before we get into that one, let's play the drop.
Yeah.
News and notes around college football.
All right.
So we're officially in the news and notes section. BMAC and Doug have got a ton of news and notes to bring you guys. So why don't you guys get it started?
Yeah, we'll get to the intel first. Well, injury news is a little less fun. So let's do the intel first. So Utah State wide receiver Robert Freeman. So it looks like he might be more in the mold of what Devin Tompkins was, who was a fantasy superstar, and Terrell Vaughn. So we've moved him up to what will be our wide receiver two slot there. So you already know about Royals as wide receiver one at Utah State. Freeman looks like he's been killing it so far, the transfer. So we'll see him play a lot. They're going to have three receivers that are draftable depending, or playable depending on the week, and depending obviously on what happens with the injuries there. But Robert Freeman, someone to look out for. Doug, how about you?
All right, so second one we got is USC wide receivers coach Dennis Simmons said USC will look to add a receiver in the spring portal without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, so there, it's going to be interesting to see how it affects our rankings, because right now it's pretty exciting for me just having the hyper-talented Zachariah Branch slotted at wide receiver one. And then another like five-star, I think he was a tight end coming out, but turned wide receiver, Deuce Robinson at wide receiver two, with some other really talented guys. You got Mekhi Lemon, you got Kyron Hudson, Jaden Richardson, Xavier Jordan out there at receiver. But looks like Branch and Robinson will probably have a premier guy coming in. I'm just going to assume one or two come in and really muddy that water in terms of just fantasy-wise. Like Branch with his talent and a pocket passing, mostly pocket passer quarterback there with Miller Moss. He could have a sneaky, like, massive breakout year. But we'll see who they bring in. So apparently, like, Josh Pate was talking about how it's just going to be insane.
It's going to be
so insane in the new portal season when it opens.
Yeah,
it's going to change college football rules like forever because there are going to be no rules.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a domino effect there. They bring somebody in, if somebody at USC decides, you know what, I'm dipping out of here because, you know, he disrespected me by saying we're not good enough to be the wide receiver too. And maybe they go to somewhere else. Maybe they go to a smaller school. And maybe they jump up in the rankings because they're in a better offense. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. So over at Oregon, the OC, Will Stein, recently talking about Jerrion Dickey. He looks like the player we anticipated he would look like. Love the kid. He's worked his tail off to get in good shape. Because he came in last year injured. So he didn't really get to participate, I don't think, at all in spring. And maybe not really much in fall. So he didn't get on the field much. The sky's the limit for him is what this note says here. But, you know, it's not the sky is not the limit this year. Not this year with the right wide receiver core that they have. So I think he'll be really good as a player available in our league. And he's been on my board. I almost drafted him as my last wide receiver slot last year to kind of stash him, but I didn't because of the injury. So we'll see how things work out for him. And I think he's wearing number 99 still, which would be fun to see at receiver. Yeah, That'll be weird.
So sticking with Oregon, we mentioned this a little bit in the rankings and some updates and stuff. Jordan James versus Noah Whittington. Looks like it could be a really fun spring battle to watch, and potentially one of these names being a fun transfer name to watch if the other one loses the job. But season-ending injury that cost Whittington the final 10 games in the last fall, they're assuming he's going to be able to return to full strength, but from what they're saying is he's a force and a really big threat to take the RB1 job. We know what we've seen from James last season. So
yeah.
I mean, what's your thought? If what we saw from James last year and how good he was, how good do you think that makes Noah Whittington if he can take that job? You know what I mean? That's insane.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that develops. I mean, that's just one thing we'll have to watch and see. And you gotta know that. So we'll downgrade people a little bit in that scenario, or maybe we'll bump James wide receiver running back one down a little bit, Whittington up a little bit. Gonna be interesting there. So let's bump over to TCU. So it looks like JoJo Earl is moving positions like to the outside receiver, to the X. And then he's probably gonna be the number two, like a second teamer though, behind Savion Williams, which is interesting. Savion, I drafted last year in a couple leagues, maybe all the leagues I was in, I don't know. And he just never really took off as a guy you could rely on. Maybe had a couple good games, but nothing great out of that Sonny Dykes offense. No receiver really took off. So got Dylan Wright. He's competing with Eric McAllister, the Boise transfer, for that Z position there. So see how that one shakes out.
McAllister, that offense excites me. That's exciting.
I like McAllister a lot. So yeah. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
And here's one for me a little bit, because I drafted this guy. But Notre Dame wide receiver Jaden Greathouse apparently picked up where he left off from spring practice last year, impressing early on. The new OC of Notre Dame comes over from LSU, where could benefit anyone that has a Notre Dame receiver. Two receivers by the names of Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas both had 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and both are projected very highly in the draft coming up. So if you're in one of those fantasy teams that you've got your college guys that you keep when they go pro, this could be a good move for any Notre Dame receiver.
Yeah, love the news that Greathouse is kind of continuing on. Like, him slotting in at wide receiver one could be really great for the true sophomore there. So the next one real quick, Amarion Miller. If you remember him, I think he broke out with like a 200-yard game at wide receiver as a freshman last year for Colorado when they had some they were battling some injuries at the position. So it looks like he's taking steps forward, doing good. So all good there for Amarion Miller, but still probably not someone who's going to be a top three receiver for Colorado, you know, really depending on how much Travis Hunter plays receiver.
I'm actually really disappointed that you didn't read that note verbatim that's on the sheet. The note on the sheet verbatim says, and I quote, "I like Amarion Miller. I'm starting to fall in love with Amarion Miller." Why did you decide to not read that verbatim?
It's not my note, so.
That would have been weird then. Okay, Doug, why did you type that?
Oh, Doug didn't type that.
Then what apparition typed it?
That is a note from...
this is straight from our boy at Volume Pigs. This is why we're giving people a little chunk of what he did in mass form. So, like, we've got just a couple more we're going to talk about, but there are so many more in there. You guys should definitely go subscribe. Anyways.
So that's a question we got to go to Volume Pigs about. Volume Pigs, why did you type that note? All right. And now... let's continue. Who we got?
Max, I'll let you go ahead and take H as well, because I know you're a fan of Boone.
Am I? I'm a fan of when he scores points. I don't know if I like. I'm not tied to him in any way other than I have to use a drop on Penny Boone, maybe. But it looks like he's going to be running back one. But they got Don Chaney Jr. from Miami, who's going to have a notable role in the running game. They both can be good in the red zone, so we'll see. I know Chaney's definitely a bruiser, so we'll see how they use him. But like in that Louisville offense, you know, Penny Boone can have a really good year depending on how many touches he gets. We'll see, but I'm not super hope right now. I'm leaning towards keeping him. I think, let's see, where do we have Boone ranked? So we still haven't like put out the projections yet. We've got him at RB 43, projected to score 184 fantasy points on the season. Definitely will have some passes thrown his way and whatnot, but I don't love where he's at, but it's not as good as where he was in Toledo for sure. But we'll see.
All right. I'll keep this rolling. We got Florida State transfer wide receiver Malik Benson has impressed early on in spring camp. I've heard this a lot. And he looks to potentially be the leader to replace Keon Coleman in 2024. So I've heard a lot of good things about Malik Benson since he's transferred over. I heard a lot of good things about him before the season last year. So hopefully the things we're hearing can eventually, you know, level up his game a little bit and he can be the guy that we're hearing he could potentially be. So, but I'm definitely hearing a lot of good things about Malik Benson, and so is Volume Pigs. So,
last one we'll give you South Alabama. Matt teased this like 14 and a half minutes ago. So, the beat reporter for South Alabama suggested Braylon McReynolds figures to be the number one running back with Kentrell Bullock involved behind him. We had our depth chart kind of mixed up. We had it inversed there. Apparently we thought Bullock, you know, based on carries in the past, we thought he would be RB1. We've made the switch. This is just another example of all the news and notes that's out there. This is like a little tiny fraction of the news and notes that's out there that we use to adjust the rankings and keep it fresh all the time.
All right, so that's
one that that's here's a bonus one. I've got a free one for you, Matt.
Free one, free one. What you got?
I saw Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame catching passes, doing drills with wide receivers, which you just love. Like those kind of points, like that kind of involvement, A, underscores NFL potential, B, you know, any PPR or half PPR league matters a lot. For
and it shows
points.
You the depth of that running back room, but how much they want to get certain people
See,
the ball.
That's the part that scares me. They've got such good depth at running back. Like, how good is Jeremiah Love going to be? I feel like I'm higher on him than most people, but he's still downgraded just because I'm nervous about, yeah, how are they going to use Price and the rest of them? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
All right, so that's our regular intel notes. Now we're going to go on to just some injury news that's not going to be as fun because we're not talking about guys with, you know, with huge potential or moving up depth charts. We're talking about guys that are trying to just stay healthy and get back there. So let's go through this real quick. So B-Mac, Doug, let's go through these injury notes.
All right. So we got Jackson Dart is going to be limited in the spring, but he's going to be fine.
All right. So I'm just going to sprint through these.
Sprint through them.
TCU quarterback Josh Hoover misses the spring. I'm going to add to that note there. Ken Seals is there from the portal, transfers over as a senior from Vanderbilt. We'll see how that one turns out. Seals has an opportunity right now to kind of steal the job. But in like that best ball draft I was in, I went ahead and handcuffed Hoover with Seals. Five-star freshman wide receiver that everyone's excited about out of Texas Tech. Micah Hudson is missing the spring, as well as Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, Rocket Sanders at South Carolina. DeCorian Clark expects to be full go by the end of July. We'll see on that one because kind of expected him to play last year a little bit too. Jalen Daniels, unclear for spring, still trying to recover from a back injury. And that's kind of messed him up for a couple seasons now. So we'll see how that one goes. We'll see. Cam Rising, Brant Keithy cleared for spring. Big for Utah there. Got these 8-year seniors, teammates there. And then Preston Stone, full go by May. Aronde Gadsden should be ready to go for the fall. Clear tight end one for us.
I love this next one for you and Gunner, just so.
Trevor Etienne, not necessarily suspended yet, but if he's proven guilty on his DUI and multiple other accounts or counts against him, will get suspended for 10% of the season, which should basically be a one-game suspension. Not that big of a deal in terms of fantasy. Marquez Cooper is still in the portal. He's the number one like fantasy relevant from the past guy that's in the portal right now. So we'll see where he goes. I don't foresee any great landing spots. I know a lot of people have talked about San Diego State. Maybe that'll be good, but that ends the injury news.
All right. So we're done with the intel and the injury news. Now it's time to get to the main segment for this show. We're talking about the College Football 25 QB rankings predictions, who we think they think are going to be the top 10.
Let's go.
Solid.
All right, so Doug, we're going to let you take the lead on this one. Doug just published an awesome article over on the CFBDynasty.com website. So Doug, take us away in this, man.
Oh, big dogs. All right, listen, here we go. So at number 10 on our all-exclusive, what we think they think the top 10 quarterbacks are going to be on the video game, we got our boy, Caden Salter. Before we get too deep into this, one thing I want everyone to remember is it's not based off fantasy football point projections like we're all used to on this show. It's based off the talent alone and – you know, could be the ratings coming into college football. Like Salter was a 4-star guy and just what we've seen from him in the past, like you're seeing in the background now. He can beat you with his legs. His passing is pretty on point when it comes to those little corner throws in the back of an end zone. He does those really, really well. But, yeah, number 10, we've got him at an overall rating of an 85. His awareness, we're going to project him at an 88. Throw power, 89. Throw accuracy, 88. His speed, 83. And acceleration, 83.
Yeah, one thing to note real quick as we're getting into these. So as far as the video game goes, like it weighs heavily on talent. So mm-hmm. It's going to be like different from our fantasy rankings where you'll see a lot of the, Salter's going to be in the top three as well as Byron Brown. It's a little different here. But Salter, if you remember, he was a four-star kid, recruited heavily, committed to Tennessee, I don't know.
He got in trouble,
got kicked out, and now he's here. So he's like super talented. A lot of people thought he was going to be like follow his coach over to Auburn, but he entered the portal and then came back to school. So not really sure why, but hey, Salter's back. He's got some new weapons. So we'll see if he's able to keep that production up. But yeah, love Salter.
I think it'll be interesting just to see, especially with him. I'm glad that he's the first guy that's on the list because the game historically weights heavily to Power 5, Power 4.
Right.
And so to see a guy like that, is he somebody that's going to become a guy I can go take Caden Salter and play on that team and just have him go crush Group of 5 talent schools.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where Caden Salter falls. And then with the game, is he somebody in the game that's going to go into the transfer portal and go to a bigger school with the game? So that's going to be one that's going to be super fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Doug, number 9 on the list, we've got Jalen Daniels. Explain to us why you got him there at number 9.
Well, in the video game, injuries are not a concern. Like I said briefly, and like Brian said, it's based off talent alone, not what we project them in fantasy points, although he is another one that is projected high, not top three or anything like that, but he's projected to score some fantasy points. He's another one that can beat you with his legs and beat you with his arm. You'll probably find a common theme, with some of the video game rankings and then some of our fantasy rankings as far as having that dual threat ability, but there's going to be some in there that just have a really good arm. So
it was such a huge emphasis when the game was like the last two iterations of the game where the read option became a big part of it. And that was really hard to stop, or inversely, like really easy to do against the computer, because you're just, reading the end and making your pick. And so, yeah, someone like Daniels, goodness gracious, like he can throw, but he can run it a lot. Like he's someone that I worry about. Like if he's healthy in that offense, like mm-hmm. we might have him too low. Like I like Jalen Daniels a lot.
All right. So at number 8, Doug, I know how much you love saying this guy's name. I'm going to throw it over to you to say his name and then roll from there. Who you got at number 8?
I'm going to roll with Nico. And I like calling him Amaliva because it just fits for me. I'll let you guys, have fun with that last name, but I'm just going to roll with Nico
because it's
more fun for me to say Nico. We got him overall at an 88. Yeah, he's young, but the throwing power for him is there. He can throw the long ball for sure. The only reason I think we've got him at an 88, honestly, is because he is young and we don't know what his awareness is going to be like.
It's one of those things with the video game. As the awareness goes up after you start a full year, everything else, his accuracy, his quarterback accuracy is going to go up just with experience. So he's got the 5-star raw talent.
Well, in that offense in general, though, it's hard to – you would think it's hard to have another season like a Milton kind of, with the way their offense is run. You would expect a quarterback with Nico's talent to come in and just be successful. So
I was worried about that in the Florida game when the Gators beat Tennessee pretty handily. Milton was struggling so bad in the swamp. I was thinking, man, like we could see Maliava come in and just maybe have some success with deep balls and whatnot, but whatever, it didn't happen. We'll get to see it all this year. He played in the bowl game. That's where the highlights were mostly from. So I think 4 rushing touchdowns and had some good success throwing the ball against Iowa. Great dude.
All right, good stuff. So now we're going to roll straight on to number 7. Doug, you got Carson Beck at number 7. Why is that?
Carson Beck. Not somebody that's really going to beat you with his legs, right, like we talked about. But he's just got the arm talent that you want in a quarterback. And he's a leader. He's smart. You know, his awareness level is, you know, is high. It's above average. Just everything about Carson Beck, you know, aside from his – potential 40 time, as you see him running right now, but his potential 40 time, everything is above average for him as a quarterback. And like we said, it's raw talent. And you have to think that being in Georgia and being a starter in Georgia again is just going to produce a good quarterback. They seem to. So I think everything in that offense, the way that it's coached, just makes it easy for a quarterback that is talented to be successful.
All right, then number 6, definitely interested to see what you guys think about number 6. Got Jalen Milroe, and I definitely have a question for you about this one once you cover him.
Well, I am going to let BMAC take the role and the lead on Jalen Milroe because there's a lot to talk about with this guy. All I can say is across the board, he's probably the most athletic quarterback we have. Not just in the video game, but in college football in general.
Yeah, here's our projections. These are, if we miss them, they're on the site, whatever. So we've got him at a 90 overall. There was some notes about him. He's like pretty guaranteed. He's like pretty locked in as quarterback 1 with Alabama, even with the coaching change there. His awareness we have at an 83, because that's just something you want to see grow over time with someone who's like so athletic like him, and they have a propensity to run the ball. So got him at an 83. His throw power, like his arm strength, is there. His accuracy will improve, and it was still pretty darn good on the deep ball. So that's really what you want to see, and we'll see if they can develop some premier targets or premier weapons this year as like reliable targets. We don't know if they've really had that in a couple years at Bama, but his speed, his power, his acceleration off the charts. If this guy puts it all together, he can be the most dangerous player on the field, regardless of what team Alabama's playing against. So love the talent and the potential. I imagine he would be one of the scariest guys to try and defend in the video game when it comes out. But
so as you're talking about scary, the replay on his highlights that just showed when he was getting smashed by that Ole Miss defender and threw like a 45-yard touchdown pass. yeah. I'm like, man, you know, that to me is scary. And then you think back to what he did to, you know, advance Alabama in the final seconds of, you know, the one game and things of that nature. Just, he's scary, man. You just never know, because he could tuck it and run a 70-yard touchdown pass, or he can throw a 70-yard touchdown. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, if we did a post on the most electric players in college football, he's got to be up there.
All right, so I got a question for you guys specifically relating to Jalen Milroe. So if you were to take all these players and you were to say, hey, we don't care what team they're on, just the actual player, do you think his rankings would go down or stay the same because of the fact he's on an Alabama offense that gives him the opportunity to be able to make these plays? He's got a great offensive line. He does have 5-star weapons around him. Do you think that helps his personal ranking go up, or do you think that he's just a great talent no matter what, and the rankings are going to stay what the rankings are, period?
I don't think so. Like, I think that's exactly how I did it, was like, regardless of what team they're on, what have they shown me in terms of their strength? So if he moves over to I was about to say Kentucky, because that's who the highlights are showing, but Kentucky has some great weapons at receiver. So
UL Monroe. If he moves over to UL Monroe,
goes to UL Monroe,
he's going to crush those defenses.
but still, like his rating will be the same.
Okay,
his stats would just go up fantasy wise. But yeah, that's why we've also got those fantasy stats there projected. You know, in that same chart.
All right. So next up, we got number five, Drew Aller. Doug, tell us why.
So Drew Aller, we've got at a 90 as well. And you'll see, like BMAC just mentioned, the fantasy points projections. He's not going to be projected as high as a lot of these guys because of the offense that Penn State runs. You know, he's kind of relied on to be more of a game manager there, not turn the ball over, you know, make the smart play. He can run when he needs to. He's not afraid to. He's not the fastest guy out there, but he's tough. He's strong. You know, I've had people in the past. I've read some things that it's like trying to tackle a Ben Roethlisberger sometimes because he's just strong. Mm-hmm. But his throw power is insane. I believe Brian, we talked about this last year. He was potentially had the strongest arm in college football, I believe, is what people talked about. So. I don't know if that's still the case, you know, with some of these other quarterbacks, but he does. His arm strength is immaculate, and he's just, like I said, he's just called to be a game manager in the offense, but it doesn't mean it's not going to project to the video game of him being a great quarterback.
New OC this year. We'll see what they're able to do, if they maybe spread it out a little bit more, how they involve both of those running backs. We'll see if Penn State's able to kind of take it up a notch this year. Still don't know if they have elite talent at receiver, but would be nice for someone to kind of step up there. Could be big for that offense. Mm-hmm. You see what it does to just like the Dolphins, where Matt's a fan of, like you add Tyreek and then everything changes.
I think
that could be the same thing for Penn State. If they had just one guy, one go-to guy, that would change the balance of the entire offense.
They did have a transfer receiver to Penn State, and I can't remember who it was, but off the top of my head, but
yeah.
All right. So number four, Jackson Dart. Give us the details.
Jackson Dart. seems like the ageless wonder at Ole Miss. I feel like he's been around for forever. But man, I'll let BMAC talk about him a lot. But I guess the thing that stands out for me, and this, you're not going to see this in our, you know, projections as far as awareness, throw power, all that. He's steady across the board, but I think the thing that stands out the most to me is just his toughness, man. He's mentally tough. Physically, like,
yeah.
I've seen him make throws with, it seemed like his helmet was on complete wrong direction. Like, you know, he's so tough. And he's just good. We've got him an overall 93, but BMAC, I'll let you fill in the blanks on him for sure.
Our fantasy stats, you know, they can't really account for the helmet going the wrong direction throws. That sounds pretty pretty difficult. But I'd say yes, he's super tough. Like, he's got a big arm, so he's definitely going to be in the mix for the draft. And that is, I want to get to that question, Doug. So think I'm going to ask you here before the end, like once we get through the list, how would you rank these guys, the top guys, Devy-wise? Give me your top, you know, four or five quarterbacks that we have on this list.
Okay.
And that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard because there's some good ones.
Obviously. I think I've got it.
But Dart's going to be one of them. And he's got Trey Harris coming back at receiver. They had Juice Wells, who's incredible from South Carolina. And they've kept some of their other guys that they've got there too. They lose Judkins. I think they'll be like a Dart centric offense. Ulysses Bentley is going to get more run. Logan Diggs will be in the mix, but it's going to be a great offense, and Dart is going to get plenty of touchdowns on the ground, through the air. Could he be quarterback one in fantasy? I think there's a path where he could. I don't foresee it. I wouldn't predict it, but you know, this offense with Kiffin calling the plays could be that good.
All right, so number three, we got Quinn Ewers.
Good old Quinn Ewers. So we got him overall at a 95. I talked about Drew Aller's arm strength. It's, you know, arguably between Quinn Ewers and Drew Aller, who potentially have the strongest arm in college football, from what, you know, we hear. And we have him at a 98 throw power, and Drew Waller at a 97. That tells you how close they are in throw power. And then throw accuracy, 91. And again, a guy that's not necessarily going to beat you with his wheels. He's not going to outrun you, but he'll run when he has to. So I think the biggest thing with Quinn Ewers is just getting that awareness a little bit better for him. Because there are some deeper balls that he throws that he does miss, you know, and then that would go with the throw accuracy too. But it's kind of like another, you know, little stat that we don't have in here is the injury stuff, you know. So just putting together a full season is something that we look forward to with him. But he's got all the arm talent in the world.
Yeah, just, and maybe his deep ball accuracy was just a little – you know, miscalculated because of the speed of Xavier Worthy that we've seen now from True. The combine. But you got two of the fastest guys out there in the combine that are gone now. So he's going to be replacing them with some, you know, a couple freshmen from last year that are moving up the depth chart, transfer to coming in. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, like Ewers a lot, I think everyone in that offense can be incredible. Like, he's not a top 10 fan. I don't see a way where he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback just because he, you know, isn't going to be relied on to run as much. But with the weapons at receiver, at tight end, at running back, you know, all those guys are going to get some good run this year.
All right. So the guy at number two, I'm actually going to take a little bit on this before we even get back to your guys' comments. You got Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. Some of the stuff that you guys have said to this point, I think, really play into why you have Shedeur ranked this high. And here's what you guys have talked about. The game doesn't take into account injuries. The game is not going to be taking into account how bad the offensive line was last year, how spooked he was getting at the end of the season because he was just getting obliterated. Shedeur Sanders was not just getting sacked. He was getting absolutely destroyed on some sacks. So that probably affected the way he was playing. The rankings are going based purely on his talent. And if you've got somebody like B-Mac who's controlling Shedeur Sanders in the game, and this is for real. If you got somebody like B-Mac who's controlling Shedeur Sanders in the game, he's going to be able to utilize those skills that he has on the controller for him to avoid potential deficiencies in the offensive line. So I really like seeing that CFB has got Shedeur up this far, because from a pure talent perspective, I think it's dead on. They have tried to improve the offensive line in the offseason, so we'll see if that helps him. But I think that from a video game perspective, this is probably your video game guy. So B-Mac, Doug, do you think that's accurate comments for me? And what are your comments about why you have Shedeur at this point?
Yeah.
Accurate for sure. You know,
we got him at 96.
He's arguably the number one quarterback going into 2025 NFL draft. So, you were very accurate. I think having Colorado as your team on the video game could be really fun. So, like you said, Brian, you know, overall 96, I think that kind of speaks for itself.
All right. And then last but not least, number one in the who we think they think is going to be the best quarterback in the new college fantasy football or the new college football video game that's coming out. Dylan Gabriel, Doug, B-Mac, tell us why you have Dylan Gabriel at the number one slot in the who we think they think is going to be the best QBs.
Well, it's all about throw accuracy and awareness for me with this guy. He's been around long enough to know the game, to know what's going on. And when you see him make some throws, you're like, there ain't no way that's going to hit that one receiver between those two guys. And it does. But his awareness, he knows when to tuck the ball down to run. He knows what throws to make. He knows what throws he can't make. He's smart with the football. And I don't think he's overconfident in terms of, I'm going to make this throw, even though I don't think it's going to get there.
Yeah. I love Gabriel at Oregon, his third stop. So he started at UCF. Then he went and did a year at Oklahoma. Now he's at Oregon. I wonder where he'll be next year and the year after that. But
Hopefully NFL.
I love to see what he's going to do. We've got him as the point guard, so to speak, for two of the top 12 or 13 fantasy wide receivers this year, with Tez Johnson on the outside, along with Evan Stewart, who I think is one or two in terms of just wide receiver talent, future NFL talent. But man, that one is going to be fun. That offense in general is just going to be so much fun, because Gabriel, he's just going to be able to play point guard. He's going to be able to, you know, identify the defense, and he's got super talented guys to throw to. He's not going to run a ton of touchdowns. He'll run a few, but we've got him way up there as quarterback two, I think, right now in terms of fantasy wise. Is there anything you wanted to cover otherwise, Matt, before I ask Doug the Debbie question?
Yeah, really quick. So just BMAC, if you want to pull up your rankings and go to the bottom real quick, we'll take a look at the how you, just for fun, put your projections and predictions of what they're going to have in the game as far as awareness, throw power, throw accuracy, speed, acceleration. So we got those there at the bottom. So I think it's interesting. You guys have covered it quite a bit. This is what we think is in the video game, not what we think is in fantasy. And a perfect example is Dylan Gabriel, number one here, number one in fantasy points. Caden Salter's at number 10. But on this list, he would be number two in overall fantasy football production. So numbers to call out on here. If you're Quinn Ewers, are you going to be at BMAC's house, you know, taking a slow bus because he's given you such terrible numbers? 62 speed, 68 accuracy. Any other numbers that either one of you guys want to call out on these rankings?
To be fair, Peyton Manning would be like a 29. So he's way faster than Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I would be willing to challenge Quinn Ewers in a race right now.
All right, the one question I have for you guys on these rankings: if you think that this is the top 10 quarterbacks out of 130 something teams, and your 10th best quarterback is an overall 85, do you think when you see the game that some of these quarterback rankings are probably going to be a little bit higher, because to have the 10th best QB at 85,
yeah,
knowing the way that the game likes to have their players statted, probably going to see some of these guys ranked a little bit higher. I think you're probably going to see maybe the 30th or 40th best QB at an 85, because they want to have those guys that are just dynamic to start. What do you guys think when looking at these?
Yeah, probably maybe a little bit more. You wonder what are they going to do with some of these like fifth and sixth year seniors who, you know, would essentially have extra years of progression. So if you're a four or five star recruit in the video game, you're moving up like 4 to 6 points overall every year. Well, all of these guys are going to limit out. They're going to have to probably do that a little bit differently with all these extra years of eligibility. And that's the really confusing part. Like Doug made a point talking about, who were you talking about before the show here? crap. I don't even remember.
As far as like star status and stuff.
I think you were talking about Graham Mertz, right? Graham Mertz. Like, yeah, he's been around a while. He's like really great completion percentage. Had a surprisingly good year last year. Like, I could see him being an 85. I could see him being an 86 just because he's been around. He's going to have a high awareness. It's going to be interesting, really.
It'd be a Cam Ward from Miami, guys. Like, just
Cam Ward is the guy left off that I that could easily be, you know, seventh or sixth on this list. Like, Cam Ward could have a monster year for Miami.
Well, that's good, because that's the next question we had before we got into the Devy, is who do you think is not in the top 10 that you believe could potentially get to that top 10? So, BMAC, your pick is Cam Ward. Doug, who do you think is one guy that you think could potentially be in that top 10 or should be?
I'm going to roll with somebody that we have high in our fantasy rankings, and that's Byron Brown. I mean, I think what hurts him a little bit is he was only a three-star recruit coming in. He only had, you know, three Division One scholarship offers. But, I mean, you look at what he does on the field. He's kind of a Caden Salter, you know, I think level at that around that number 10, where his, you know, speed and his awareness and throw power and accuracy are there. So we'll see what happens. But I think it could be a Byron Brown for sure. And then, like I mentioned before the show, a Graham Mertz would be another one for me.
We haven't got to this point talking about the video game yet, but that's a school that would be super fun to play with, like in like a small school going with South Florida with Byron Brown, because you get him for at least a couple years of his speed and acceleration, just overall good quarterback play, dual threat ability, etc. That's a good one. We'll get to that point probably where we talk about those.
I'm gonna roll with TJ Finley is somebody that I would like to see higher in the rankings. And more so the converse of what we talked about earlier. If you've got a quarterback that goes to Western Kentucky, the kind of offense they run, the kind of stats that any quarterback plug and play goes into that system is always going to be near the top. I almost feel like just because he's in that system, he should get a bump, because you know that they're going to be throwing the ball and they're going to be running a fast offense. And I think that that's going to help his numbers to go up. How they're going to be able to account for that in the video game is going to be the interesting part, because they're probably going to look at just talent. And I think that just talent and not looking at system and the way that the offense is run there is probably going to take somebody like that, and it's probably going to unnecessarily degrade him in the rankings a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so B-Mag, you said you got it. You said you got a Debbie question.
So,
what's that Debbie question?
The only person on this list not eligible for the draft next year is Nico. So you don't even have to worry about saying Iamaliava at all. How would you rank these? You know, give us your top five for how you think, you know, after this next college football season ends, where these guys will slot in the draft. You know, we're almost to the NFL draft, which is one of my favorite. It's peak NFL for me. But how would you see these guys getting drafted this time next year?
All right. So I'm going to go about this a little differently and put on my GM hat here. I would probably take Jackson Dart number one. Just because of the leadership ability, what he shows on the field, the toughness. I'm a, you know, yes, they're in the SEC, but I'm a Jackson Dart fan. I think he's, to me, the number one quarterback. Then it's really close to me, for me, between Drew Aller and Carson Beck, to be honest, because they are game managers. They're never asked to do too much. But man, they're so good with the football. They're, you know, they're aware of what's going on. They're smart. And then at number four, I'd go Shadur. You know, the hype and the kind of it's about me mentality scares me with him. I'd be willing to even drop him lower if there were better people on this list, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But the all about me mentality going into the pros reminds me of how much hate, you know, kind of Caleb Williams is getting right now. And I think with Shadur, it could be even worse. And then I'd go Quinn Ewers at five.
I would have Milroe in my top five somewhere, I think. But
I have to see more from him. You said after this year. So maybe it'll be different. What I've seen from him right now, he would not be top five with those other four guys.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah.
I think Shadur, depending on how he's got a better offensive line. We've talked about that at length. If he goes in and performs better than last year with a better offensive line, I think he could be the number one quarterback. If he goes in and does not perform better with better offensive talent around him like that, I think that he's going to drop in the rankings. I think that, as you said, maybe that me first mentality might make him drop. But if you're a GM that's struggling to sell tickets or want to make some money, that could be the most marketable guy on the list that could help you to bring some money. It might be able to help you bring some free agents. You never know. So yeah. I think that he is definitely the wild card there because of all those things around him.
I do think of it on a on a level as a former athlete player to the, like, he could also deter people from wanting to play there. And because he's taking all that light away from everybody else. And, you know, that meme mentality, I just don't like it as far as potentially leading a locker room full of, you know, the best of the best.
We'll see. And I don't know what – I really don't know enough about Shedeur to know if that comes from him or comes from his dad. I know his Deion is very confident, you know, way more confident in anything than I'll ever be probably. But, you know, he's said, you know, he's got the number one and number two draft picks on his team between Shedeur and Travis
Hunter. And
he's
made comments about, like –
he could be right.
He's made comments, too, though, about, like, there are teams that these two will not play for.
I don't like that, but yeah.
You know, like it's to me, it's like, dude, you're going to play where you get drafted. I don't know. And if you get drafted there and you refuse to play, then you're just going to sit there. I don't know what
and
to tell you.
And it's some weird stuff too. It's like, I don't want to play in cold weather. So if Green Bay, not that Green Bay is going to go draft you, but if Green Bay was to draft you, you're going to say, no, I don't want to play there because they play outside of the Bears. Cause the Bears play outside in cold weather. You know, that's
I hate to break it to them. Every team in the NFL travels.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
All right, so that is it for the top 10 who we think they think are going to be the top quarterbacks in the upcoming college football video game. Doug BMAC, you put together some great information. What do you guys want to say as we lead out? Or what's the next show? What's one of the shows we have that's going to be coming up? And what's something you think should be exciting people as we head into this next week?
We got running backs and receivers coming up next. It may be delayed a week because of travel next week. So I will keep you guys in the loop on that. But yeah, all the news coming out, attending spring games, all that stuff, cannot wait. Very excited about that. And we'll try and get some more collab with some of the other guys in the industry because I feel like I just feel the pull to kind of do it. It's been a while. I'm bad about reaching out to people, and I need to do better at that. Need to do better at social. But
so BMAC, so is BMAC's ranking in social better or worse than Peyton Manning's speed? What do you think, Doug?
Oh, man,
that's tough.
So does he get a 29 or better?
I think I would pick Peyton Manning running the ball from the 2-yard line right now.
I think so too.
All right, so we got to get that number up. If it was in the video game, we got to get that number up, BMAC.
Oh man, yeah. If you're grading my social media skills, I'm definitely worse than a 29. Definitely. And my like rating for it is pretty bad. I really hate doing social stuff, but.
Well, on that note, make sure you guys go out there and like and subscribe to all of our socials. They're going to be in the show notes. Make sure you go up to cfbdynasty.com and subscribe, because when your season comes up, when your draft comes up, you're going to want to have your hands on all that information so you can get a leg up when you're in the CFB Dynasty Open League, or whether you're in your own league or you're in both. You want to have a chance to be like Doug and be a champion. On behalf of Doug Dynasty and Brian McKelfrish, my name is Matt Knowles. We thank you guys for coming out to the show today. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the CFB Dynasty podcast. Help us out by subscribing on YouTube and reviewing us on your podcast network.